Your Bibles, please, turn to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1259. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. We'll read to verse 14. And we'll read the verses responsively. Once more, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Page 1259. And maybe stand, please, as we do here at First Baptist for the reading of the Word of God. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for authenticating your word in so many ways, through various instances and circumstances in our life. We know that we have the truth. We know that in thy word we have that which is life-changing, that which binds us to thee. Now bless, we pray, our preacher, and grant him thy power and strength, and help us to listen as carefully as would please thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to open your Bibles again to Philippians, if you would, chapter 3. I want to read a few of those verses with or for you and let you look at them as I teach just a little bit before I pray and before I bring the message. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, I have not arrived, but I have left. I have not arrived, but I have left. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. You have Paul's goal. This is where he's going. This is where he wants to arrive. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain or the resurrection of the dead. Here's what it means. Paul said, my goal is to arrive at the resurrection. I want to arrive at perfection. Now let's see what he says in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I'm not there yet. He said, my goal is to be like Christ, but I'm not there yet. In verse 13 he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Once again he said, I'm not there yet. Now then, look at verse number 13. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying three things here. Number one, I want to arrive. Number two, I have not arrived. Number three, I have left and am on my way. I have not arrived, that I've left. I'm going to encourage you this morning if you'll listen to me. I have an idea that you're like I am. You think you've got something licked in your life and you think that it's all behind you. And all of a sudden, it comes up and attacks you and you say, I can't believe I did that again. I have a certain weakness. You'll never know it because it's my weaknesses, as you know, are not obvious. But I fight that thing and I get to the place sometimes where I think, I've got that thing licked. I've gone as much as 15 minutes without doing it. And I think I've got that thing licked. And I may even go several months and all of a sudden, kazoom, kazam, kazoo-am. And I can't believe it. And I say, good night. Fellow been saved as long as I've been saved, been preaching as long as I've been preaching, and ought to be able to lick that thing. And I get discouraged. And I got a sneaking suspicion. I'm talking to two or three imperfect people in this room today. And I want to encourage you a little bit as I speak to you on the subject. I have not arrived, but I have left. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message today to our hearts. But it cannot bless our hearts unless it comes to our ears. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this morning, if the people will hear, then they're going to hear the Word of God because I'm going to preach it. And their faith will be strengthened because of it. May we listen carefully together as speaker and hearer. Amen.
I don't like to sit still. I go to the airport. Turn me up just a tad, please. Hey, P. I go to the. Did you turn me up? Good. I go to the airport, and I don't sit out there in a waiting room. I move. I walk. I don't like to sit still. I just can't sit around and do nothing. So I sit around and sleep. But I like to. And of all of my pet peeves, high on the list is waiting for a train. If there's one thing that I hate about this area, it's those stupid trains. I don't mind. I also hate a traffic jam on the expressway. Now, I don't mind going 2 miles an hour, but I don't want to sit there and just sit. I want to be moving. The other day, I left the church. There's a train coming. Trains always run on schedule. They run exactly whenever I leave. And always on schedule. And so I went down to Seoul Street here. And turned right, I looked and saw the train was there. And so I decided to go on down to Calumet. The train was going this way. I went down to Calumet Street. And, of course, I don't know how long I had to wait, but I don't like to wait any. I like to sit still. So I went on down to Columbia. And the train was crossing Columbia there on the May Street place. So I went on down to Indianapolis Boulevard. And then there was a train coming this way. You've been there, haven't you? And I sat there for a little while, but I couldn't do it any longer. And so I went on down to Kennedy. I'm talking about Seoul. I'm talking about Calumet. I'm talking about Columbia. I'm talking about Indianapolis Boulevard. I'm talking about Kennedy. I ended up on Klein Avenue. Now, it took me 2 days for the trip. Now, the honest truth is, I could have crossed down here on Calumet Street and saved some time, but I kept moving. It did take me 35 minutes to go from here to our house in Munster. It's only a 5-minute drive. for Mrs. Hyam. But no, it's only at about a 12-minute drive, speed limit drive. Speed limit is 65, isn't it? But I don't like to stand still. Now, I'm the same way in the Christian life. I may not get anywhere, but I won't be moving around. I want to move. I saw a poster one day that interested me, and I'm sure you've seen the same poster. It said, life is a journey and not a destination. And that thing, I wrote it down. First time I ever saw it, I wrote it down. Life is a journey and not a destination. Follow me carefully. God knows that the journey is more fun than the destination. I don't care what it is. The journey is more fun than the destination. So God, knowing that, has given us goals. Here's the sermon now. Has given us goals that He knows we cannot achieve. So that we will always in this life be on the journey. Very few things that God gives us as goals in the Christian life are attainable in this life. He knows that it's the journey that we enjoy the most. Now, let me give you an example. Matthew 5:48. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, the honest truth is, I cannot attain to that goal. I almost have, but I cannot attain to that goal. There's no way that I can be perfect. See, so I cannot, are you listening to me? I cannot arrive, but praise God, I've left. I mean, I'm not perfect, and I cannot be perfect because until I awaken His likeness. But Jesus commands me to be perfect. Now, why does He command me to be perfect? He commands me to be perfect because He knows if I ever get to the destination, I won't be happy. The journey is what is fun. You know, there are many of our charismatic friends, and I say friends advisedly. I'm not a charismatic. Couldn't be. But they get what they call the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they have been, they call, sanctified. I still like what the old lady came down the altar, and she said, came back to her husband and said, I got sanctified. He said, you sprung a leak coming back to the pew. I know you too well. I've been sanctified, been filled with the Spirit. Now, God knows that if we could ever arrive, and by the way, these charismatic people that think they've arrived at sinless perfection, they've taken the joy out of the Christian life. The joy of the Christian life is the journey. And so God gives us a destination that is beyond our reach and that is not attainable. So here, over here, is perfection. And God commands me, Jesus commands me, He says, be ye therefore perfect. Over here is a new Christian, a babe in Christ. Now, I am not over here, but thank God I'm not back here either. I have not arrived, but I have left, and I'm on my way. I am pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Now, if I've arrived, I can't pray, I can't sing that song. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have known. See? So, God is, we're saying in the song, I have not arrived yet. And by the way, that's what's so encouraging about it. Nobody else has arrived either. But the question is, have you left? And you say, Brother Howes, I can't be perfect. I know, but you can work toward, you can walk toward it. And I'm not perfect. I have not arrived. Paul said, I have not yet attained, but I follow on. I have not yet, I count not myself to apprehend it, but I press forward to the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, I'm not over there, but praise God, I'm not back there either. I'm talking to folks today, you know you can't be there, so you just hang around over here. Have you left? John 15:12. Jesus says that we're supposed to love like He loves. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about the perfect, sinless Son of God, And in John 15:12, he has the audacity to tell me that I, in the flesh, a human being with mortal blood flowing through my veins and supposed to love as Jesus loved. Now, the truth is, I can't do that. There's no way I can love like Jesus loved. I have not yet arrived to obeying John 15:12 to love like he loved, but I have left the hatred. And I'm on my way. I do not love like he loves, and praise God, I never will love like he loves on this earth, and that means there's always some challenge. There's always some undiscovered territory. I will never totally apprehend, and since the journey is more wonderful than the destination, I'm glad I cannot arrive until I awaken his likeness, but praise God, I can be on my way. Now, I'm talking to folks this morning who are over here. You've not even tried. You haven't left yet. Now, again, I don't love like I should love, but I love better than I did love. I do not love like Jesus loves, but I don't love like the world loves either. I don't have perfect agape, but I don't have total phileo. I may have some kind of mixture, but praise God, the mixture is getting heavier toward agape all the time. Now listen to me. The honest truth is, God is simply asking for some improvement. Ephesians 4:32 said that I am to forgive like Jesus, like God forgives me. That means that God says to me, I'm to come over here and forgive exactly like God forgives. Now, I can't do that. You can't do that. Nobody can forgive like God forgives. But he told me to. Now, why did he tell me to? He wanted to give me a goal that I could never reach, so I'll always be on the journey of forgiveness from man's unforgiveness to God's forgiveness. I'll always be on the journey, and that's one reason I'm happy, because I enjoy the journey. I'm talking to folks today. You haven't even left yet. Well, nobody is perfect. Well, nobody has to be totally imperfect either. I mean, you still have the old bitterness that you had back yonder when you first got saved. You've not grown one ounce in Christian love. You haven't left yet. Well, you say, nobody can be perfect. Yeah, but you can try. And that's what's so fun. Much fun. As I have revenge and bitterness in my heart, I'll get him. I'll get back. He hasn't heard the last of this yet. I won't speak to him anymore. I'll pay him. He'll pay for this. Now, that's the heathen world. Now, I must confess, every once in a while, I still visit over here. But it's less and less all the time. I'm on the journey. And by the way, as you grow and as you love more like Jesus loves, you'll have more fun than you ever had in the world. But if you could get over here and love exactly like Jesus loves and forgive exactly like he forgives and be perfect as he was, if you could get over here, it wouldn't be any fun anymore. The season's over. You know what? I'm a sports fan a little bit. Used to be a fanatical one, but I pull for Chicago Bulls. And I'm not a rabid Chicago Bull fan, but I tell you, when I start pulling for them, it's when they start winning. I'm a true friend, brother. I stick by my teams through thick. But when they get down, that first year, when they were out in front, and Jordan was a basketball player then, and they're out in the front, and I got to pulling for them. I never saw any games, and never went to any games. And rarely ever listen on the radio, occasionally on the car radio or something. But I'd pull for them. I'd grab that paper in the morning and see if they won and how far ahead they were. And then and the playoffs came, and they got to playing against Detroit. And they beat Detroit 4 straight games. I was driving up to Casper Wallman to preach from Denver. I turned the radio on. The Bulls were playing. And I listened to them beat the living daylights out of Detroit. And I hate Detroit with a passion. The old Detroit basketball team, anyway. And, man, I got to going 80 miles an hour in that car, man. And, boy, I said, hey. But do you know, when they won that last game and they won the championship, the next day was a strange feeling. I mean, getting it wasn't near as much fun as working toward it. And God knew that. And God knew that you couldn't have perfect love that it talks about in 1 John. God knew you couldn't arrive there, so God commanded you to have perfect love, to love like Jesus, because He knew you'd always be on the journey, and the journey is so wonderful. He knew you could not forgive like God forgives, so He told you to forgive that way, so you'll never arrive in this life. You'll always be on the journey, and you'll always be struggling and winning, and struggling and winning, and struggling and winning, and losing, and then struggling and winning some more, and then losing a bit. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And a little closer, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. And but God knows if you got over here and had the total victory and love like Jesus loved, you'd miss the joy of growing in love. You'd miss the joy of growing in forgiveness. You'd miss the joy of growing in the likeness of Christ. That's what Psalm 17:15 means. The psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. What does it mean? It means, in fact, 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world. What does it mean? It means that God says, I want you to be like Jesus. But you say, Brother House, it's impossible to be like Jesus, but it's not impossible to leave. You can't arrive, but you can leave. And this time some of you folks left. Sitting out there with no love in your heart. Sitting out there with unforgiveness. Hatred, bitterness, revenge. Well, you say nobody's perfect. Yes, you may not can arrive, but bless God, you can leave. Paul said, I have not learned to arrive at perfect love, but I've left, and I'm on my way. I've not learned to arrive at perfect forgiveness, but thank God I've left, and I'm on my way. I mean, I've learned to arrive at perfection like Jesus, but thank God I've left, and I'm on my way. And the journey is a wonderful, wonderful journey. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now try that sometime. Try praying without ceasing. I mean, always praying. Luke 18:1. Men, he spake a parable that men ought always to pray. You pray always? You pray without ceasing? You dirty, sorry, lousy Christian. Well, Dr. Rice used to preach a sermon on that. And he was wrong. You were, Dr. Rice, you were. I fully expect you struck by lightning any minute here. But he said, you can pray all the time. Always praying, always praying. Oh, you can't do it. One night he was on the platform, sound asleep. Another fellow's preaching. I was sitting here, he was sitting here. I leaned over and said, Dr. Rice, you always snore when you pray. Nobody can pray without ceasing. Nobody can always pray. But praise God, you can start. You can leave. You'll never arrive to Philippians 1 Thessalonians 5:17, but you can leave. You'll never arrive at the love of John 15:12, but you can leave. You'll never arrive at the forgiveness of Ephesians 4:32, but you can leave. You'll never arrive at the likeness of Christ in Psalm 17:15, but you can leave. You'll never arrive at perfection of Matthew 5:46, but you can 5:48, but you can leave. Second Peter 3:8 says, grow in grace. It does not say be grown in grace. If you could, God never intended for you to love like Jesus loves. He never intended for you to forgive like He forgives, live like He lives. But He did intend for you to work at it. And you, some of you folks sitting out there, you don't pray 5 seconds or 5 minutes a day. You say, well, I can't pray without ceasing. I know you'll never arrive, but you can leave, and you can be on your way. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice evermore. Now, I'm sorry, folks. I'm a pretty happy person, but I don't rejoice evermore. I don't even rejoice every morning. I work at it, but I don't rejoice evermore. And God knows I can't. That's what's so wonderful about God. He wants me never to arrive so I can be on the journey constantly. If I could get out here where I rejoiced evermore and prayed without ceasing and woke in His likeness
and was perfect and forgave like he forgives and loved like he loves, the journey's over. The destination. It's like winning a world championship. What do you do tomorrow? It's the journey that's fun. It's the journey. And so I cannot make it. But praise God, I have left in God's name. Because you can't forgive like He forgives doesn't mean you can't leave and be on the way. I heard Dan Mendenhall make this statement, and I love it. He said, if I had a 3,000-mile trip to make in my car from the East Coast to the West Coast, and he said, if my car broke down after 500 miles, and he said, if it wouldn't run, he said, I'd push it 10 feet so I'd be closer to the West Coast than I was yesterday. By the way, he said, I'm not going to live a day without making some progress. Now, I may not drive the 500, 600, 700 miles I can drive normally in a day's time. I may not do that. But I will be 10 feet closer tomorrow than I am today. And that's what God is saying. I command you to be perfect, but no, you can't. All I ask you to do is improve. Four observations. Number one, the best Christian here may smoke cigarettes. The best Christian here may smoke cigarettes. You know why? On my way toward separation, thanks to a godly mother, I started farther along than some of you did. I've never taken a drink. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never said a cuss word. Sometimes if you'll write one down, I'll sign it, but I'm not going to say it out loud. So, I didn't start way back over here in a tavern somewhere. A lady said to me, she said, Brother Hiles, she said, when I was 3 years old, my daddy got me drunk. Now, listen to this. She said, my mother and daddy got me drunk when I was 3 years old. They'd put me up as a three-year-old child, drunk, and they would take bets on how far I could walk before I fell. 3 years old. Now, that lady may still smoke cigarettes, but she's come farther than most of us have. I mean, drunk at the age of three. We ought to be more tolerant toward people that haven't arrived at the place we've arrived. I made mention. One night I was at the house, and somebody rang the doorbell. I told you this on Wednesday night. I want you backsliders to hear this story too. I went to the front door, and looked out the window, and there's a bunch of long-haired hippies out there. Long hair. I'm talking about males with long hair. Nowadays, the ladies, the females got the short hair, and the men got the long hair, and I just better not say that. But anyway, pray for me. I'm back. I'm coming back just a little bit here on my journey. I went to the door, and there they were out there, a bunch of fellow hair down their shoulders. They said, "Oh, Brother Hiles, just came by to tell you we loved you." Oh, my soul. I said, "Wonder who these guys are." And one of them said, "We're your members." Oh. Yeah, I said, "We're in the Bible Club ministry." You're the guy that calls that. "We're in the Bible Club ministry. We just came by to tell you we love you, Brother Hiles." And they were thrilled to death. And by the way, so was I. And someday I hope as they get closer and closer, they can get a haircut. But bless God, they had a long ways to go. It is not how far you got ahead of you that counts. It's how far behind you that counts. Statement number two, don't be discouraged if you haven't arrived, as long as you've left and are on the way. By the way, you look at some of these folks who've been saved for 40 years, reared in a Christian home, had grace at the table, Bible was read to the folks at home, went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And you got a late start. You were 35, 40 years old when you got saved. And you'd lived out in the world. And you look at these people and say, I never can be like them. You don't have to be like them. All you have to do is be more tomorrow than you are today. Be on your way. It's not have you arrived. The question is, have you left? And some of you Pharisees that never had started, didn't start back there. And God blessed you and put you in a good Christian home. And you went to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning and back to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night. And your mom and dad were clean. You never saw liquor in your house. And you never saw a cigarette in your mama's lips, your daddy's lips. And your mama dressed like a lady ought to dress. Your daddy lived like a man ought to live. And you grew up in a Christian home. And you look back here and see some of these poor people didn't have one single privilege that you had. They started off from way back here with about 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage before the first down was even, first down marker could even achieve. And they're trying to catch up. And you look back and criticize them. What you ought to do, don't look where they are. You look how far they've come. I may not have arrived, but hallelujah, I've left. Number three, don't dwell on how far you have to go. Dwell on how far you've come. You started back over here. Some of you sailors or truck drivers, I'm trying to think of the wickedest people I can think of right now. Our base section members. I mean, boy. Last time you went to church was when Grandma died. And funerals and the weddings, that's all you ever came to church for. And all of a sudden you came to church and you got saved and you said to yourself, this good man right here, how can I ever be a Christian like Johnny Colston? How can I do it? How can I be a Ray Board Way? Well, bless God, this man's reared in a good Christian home, and so was this man. And they had every privilege in the world. They probably in the nursery and in the beginners and primaries and juniors. And here you are over here. You started off yards and yards behind where they started off. And you say, I wonder if I can ever catch up. And it seems like it's so far over there to pray without ceasing. And it's so far to love as Jesus loved and forgive as Jesus forgives. And it's so far over there to be perfect. And it's so far over there to have apprehended. And it's so far. Don't look over there. That'll discourage you. Look back there. And say, I'm not what I ought to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be. But hallelujah, I'm not what I used to be. I may not have arrived, but I've left. Number four, are you moving? Are you moving? Here's some of us. I hope I'm in this group. When it comes to prayer, Bible reading, forgiveness, separation, rejoicing, joy, honesty, character, here's the way most of us go. It's a struggle. And a lot of us are struggling. But you know, every time we step back, we say, oh my. And then we fight that battle and we step forward and say, well, glory to God, I won it today. Woo! I won the battle today. But here's some of you. And here are others of you. You got pretty far on the trip. You just stopped. Compare yourself to yesterday. Compare yourself to last year. Compare yourself to 3 or 4 years ago. And you stop. Others of you have done this. Oh, you're still you've left. But you're not as close as you were. Paul said, I'd love to awake and live the resurrected life. I'd love to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I'd like to love like Jesus loved. I'd like to forgive like God forgives. I'd like to awaken His likeness. I'd like to rejoice always. I'd like to pray without ceasing.
but I can't do it. I have not apprehended, but this one thing I do. I'm pressing forward. I'm making the journey. I'm getting closer and closer and closer. I think Paul would say, but hallelujah, I can't get to the destination because I am enjoying so much the journey. In my prayer life, in my Bible study, in my rejoicing, in my forgiveness, in my love, I, Jack Hiles, have not arrived. But praise God, I've left. And ever so slowly, I'm on my way. And I'm grateful. I'll never arrive until I see Him face to face. Our Heavenly Father,